Now I'm going to introduce the best preacher of the house, my son Paul, who's going to give the message today.
Good morning. Good morning. Couple people awake. All right. Are you guys alive? All right. I know it's morning, but still. Can I share some stories this morning? I don't know how far we'll get with this, but I just wanted to share a few things from last week when we were down in Reading, and also some stuff that's happened this summer. My kids keep reminding me that I've been forgetting to tell you one of the coolest testimonies, actually, this summer. So for those of you who don't know, I broke my ribs in, was it June? I flipped the quad, and I actually don't know how many ribs I broke because I didn't go to the hospital, but when I went along here, did the little self-assessment, I could hear lots of crackling and popping. So I know I broke a few in a few different spots, and it wasn't good. And as I was starting to recover, we went on holidays. It was about, a month or so later. We were in Calgary, and we bought a new dresser for Emily at IKEA. And, you know, the boxes were like this thick and this long, and I was not thinking. And I went and grabbed it, and I lifted. And as soon as I lifted, it just felt like they pulled right apart. And I thought, I'm going to be starting over again, you know, another 6 weeks of doing nothing. And as soon as I did that, like every bump on the road as we drove, I could just feel pain. And I thought, oh, no. And we got back to the hotel room, and Benjamin said, I'll pray for you, Dad. And so he said, and then he said, I'm going to pray for you 10 times. And I said, okay, pray 10 times. So, and just the faith in that little six-year-old shook me, but he started praying. So he said, in the name of Jesus, I command your ribs to be healed. And then he went, number one, in the name of Jesus, I command. And he went through 10 times. You know what? By the time he was done, the pain was gone. I just, something totally happened. And I mean, it's been amazing. So I have to really honor the Lord, and I thank God for his faith. You know, that was really amazing. So that was really cool. And so I'm still kind of taking it easy, making sure I don't do anything dumb. But, something definitely happened there, and the pain was gone. So that was awesome. And so I thank God for that. Last week when we were down there, or 2 weeks ago, I guess, already, there was a lot of, it's not like going to a healing conference or something like that, but there's still a lot of amazing things that really challenged me. And and I got healed, actually, even though I was at a prophetic conference. I think I shared that story. I had a lump on my knee from flipping my quad. It was about the thickness of my thumb. I couldn't kneel down, and I couldn't go upstairs without pain. And actually, we went for a walk. I walked like 2 blocks, and I would just get burning in my knee. And I went up one evening after the service and asked for prayer, and they prayed for me, and the lump disappeared. And which is amazing. And like I was running up and down the stairs at the hotel the next day, checking it out. And yeah, it's just, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. And so he's been restoring me. And but some of the things that really stood out to me that I guess challenging, you know, when you think of the prophetic, so it was a prophetic school that we went to. You think of the prophetic, what do you think of? And lots of us have a picture, a different picture, because of what we've seen or what we've heard about the prophetic, or whether it's been good or bad or whatever in between, right? But we went down there, and some of the things that really stood out, there's a church there in Vacaville called The Mission, and one of the main speakers was from there, and he shared how his church, he was reading one day the newspaper, and it said in the newspaper how this psychic had been helping the FBI for something like 13 years, trying to find missing and lost people. And he read that, and he said, why aren't we doing this? You know, if a psychic can go and help them, why isn't the church? And so he went to they have a group of prophetic people that pray and seek God for different stuff. So he went to them and said, listen, why don't we try this? And so they began to actually pray. And they actually have a mission now in their church where they help the police find missing and lost people. They've actually had specific GPS coordinates they've given to the police that the Lord gives them. And they show up at the house, and it's full of either sex trade people that have been stolen, or sex trafficking, or missing people that have been kidnapped. And it's incredible. Now, you never think of things like that sometimes, right? But that is available to us because we're his children, right? And we can hear his voice. Amen? The Bible says in John 10, what, that my sheep, not just the smart sheep, not just the tall sheep, not just the skinny sheep, all the sheep will hear his voice, right? Right? Are you his sheep? So that means that we can all hear his voice. And so I really appreciated how at this school, they really just said, don't get overworked about the whole prophetic word. Just simply understand that most of it is just hearing from him and speaking what you hear. Can we do that? And so as we learn and as we grow and as we understand, things like finding missing people are totally available to us. I thought that was amazing. I think it's an amazing ministry. And so they talked about that. They talked about how we every morning for the first, hour and a half, we had these little community groups that they put us in, and they had different people leading them. And the people in my group, they were part of a mission in that church that actually helps people find lost things, believe it or not. It seems kind of silly, but how many have lost their keys? Jill. Sorry, I had to take that shot. You know, how many of us have lost stuff? And we, you know, there was a, and so anyway, this couple, they pray for words of knowledge to help people find lost stuff. And so as an example they gave, so they said, is anyone here missing something? And they began to pray for them. One lady said, my husband and I sold our house, and what's it called down there, the IRS? IRS. Is after them because they're missing this one document. And apparently if they can't produce this one document, they're going to have to pay like $200,000+. And so this couple said, well, let's pray. So they prayed, and the guy said, you know, the Lord just showed me this picture in your house of a desk with a really tall filing cabinet. It's this color, da-da-da-da, in this corner of the room. And she says, yeah, that's my house. That's you're describing exactly. He said, check behind the filing cabinet, in underneath the edge, back behind. And so, I mean, I never heard, right, because we were at the school. But they had very detailed, very specific pictures of where to look. Another lady had lost a bracelet that her grandma had passed down. And the guy prayed and said, just check in the console in your car down beside the passenger seat. Psh, I see a picture of that. And so that's the kind of ministry they have. And so I just find that encouraging and challenging, right? That those are the types of things that are available to us as his children. Sometimes we don't go after it because we don't even think of it being available to us, right? But God is good and he's faithful and he opens the door for us to walk in relationship with him. And he wants us to be friends, right? Friends of God, people who walk with him, partner with him. And he cares about even those things, sometimes small little things. I remember, I think I shared this story years ago, but I took a shot one time with my bow at a coyote, way further than I'd ever shot at one before, and I missed. I had it on video camera, and I could see on the video when I rewound it where the arrow hit. And so I'm walking over there, and I mean the grass was short, it was on a hillside, and I couldn't find the arrow, and I looked and looked and looked. And I remember thinking, you know, arrow's $20 and whatever, and I wanted to find it. And so I went and looked again, couldn't find it. So I'm standing there, and I said, Lord, please help me to find this arrow. And I looked down, opened my eyes. It was right between my feet. And so, you know, God cares about even the little things. And so we need to learn to trust that he wants to be involved in every part of our life. Amen? And he's speaking to us all the time, actually. Did you know that? Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Got really quiet all of a sudden. I don't know about you, but when you're in love with someone, you like talk to them. I remember when I was dating Jill, like we used to talk on the phone for hours. And when you think about God and his passionate love for us, I guarantee you he's talking to you all the time. All the time. I hope you believe that. He loves you. Do you know that? Like it's not just up here, but it has to be here. He loves you so much that he's talking to you all the time. So one other thing that really stuck out to me, one of the main speakers, Chris Valton, he shared about how for the last several years, he talked about how we're called to make disciples of nations, right? That's our call. That's the Great Commission. We're called to go and make disciples of nations. And he felt the Lord, well, the Lord actually showed up in a vision, in a dream to him and told him that he was going to minister to leaders, to kings. And so several years ago, he began to step out in this ministry and he began to meet with, the Lord opened the doors and he began to meet with different leaders. And so he shared in the one session I was in, he talked about how he has a friend that is an advisor to Putin. And he is sending prophetic words to Putin. And he said, you think it's cool, but at the same time, it's very, very stressful because, you know, you are sending things to some of the top leaders in the world, and you better be right. you better know that you're hearing from God, right? And so he's made some very bold, he shared a couple of prophetic words there about how he felt that Russia and the U.S. were going to work with Israel. There was going to be a partnership. And he sent that thinking, oh, Lord, you know, this seems crazy right now. Well, a week later, in the front page of the news in Israel, he talked about how Putin and Trump were going to work together to cause a partnership. And anyway, he said Putin sent him a message saying, anytime that American guy wants to send something, you tell him my ears are open. You know, and you think, just the favor that God can bring some guy in the middle of nowhere and how he can use him. So he didn't share all the names of where he goes, but he said he meets with some of the most hated and some of the most loved leaders in the world. And he says, I don't care what their political stance is. I don't Google them to know what they do or what they've done, but I go in there to love and to bless and to try and lead them to the Lord. And so he literally goes in with just the heart that I'm here to be wisdom, just like Daniel, you know? And so phenomenal ministry and phenomenal things that that God can lead us into as his kids if we're willing to listen and partner with him. Amen? So I want to talk to you a little bit about the prophetic this morning and just a very basic level, just what it is. Because I think, you know, we've had lots of people over the last 6 months or a year come in and talk about the prophetic, and we've done some workshops. It's been really awesome. But I think it's important just as a whole, as our church, to really stay in the groundwork of, you know, what is it? Why? It's not something to be afraid of. It's not something to be, you know, scared of and think, oh, it's weird. It's out there. It's all through the Bible. And it's something that God has ordained and given us. And so we need to just be, you know, be real with it. And so, you know, if I'm honest with you, the prophetic has changed my life very much. And I remember when I was in university, and I think it was the first year too, I was in university, and we were out in the old sanctuary there back then. And I remember I was home for the weekend, and then it was the last song of the worship. I remember saying, God, if you have something for my life, would you speak to me through this guy? And that was when, what was his name? Todd Bentley was here years and years ago when he was first starting out in ministry. Didn't know him from a hole in the ground. He didn't know me from a hole in the ground. But I just whispered that little prayer in my heart. God, if you have something for my life, you know, because I was really wrestling with, like, God, do you actually love me? Do you care about me? You know, and he got up to preach right after that song, and he looked right over at me, and he said, you, come up here. And he had a prophetic word for me that they had recorded on a tape, and it broke me, because God had been speaking to me, right? I'd been searching and desperately hungry for something like that, and here was a long, long word saying, you know, you're going to be a psalmist, you have the heart of David, and you're going to be a preacher. He had a whole bunch of things that have actually started coming, you know, over the years. And so what was really interesting is God used that over the next year. So I would show up in a church service and somebody would say, hey, I just see that, you know, you're a psalmist, that God's got this, da da da. And it would be word for word what the first prophetic word was. And so it was like God used that to just hammer to me that I love you and I care for you. And it was like they were speaking identity into me because I didn't know who I was, right? And I was wrestling for that and looking for that. And that's what the New Testament, the model of the prophetic is to call out the gold, to call out, to equip, to encourage, to build up, to comfort, to console, and to mine for the gold in the dirt of our lives. Because none of us are perfect, are we? So the prophetic in the New Testament, the model that we see is that it's there to comfort, to encourage, to strengthen, to build up, to equip. And it's there basically you're mining for the gold in the dirt of someone's life. Does that make sense? And so many times it's just like what happened with me there. God will be speaking to you or something will be going on in your life and someone will come with a prophetic word that confirms or encourages you that this you're making the right decision or you're going the right direction or this is what God is doing in your life, you know. And it just comes at the right moment that it's like it seals the deal that you know that God is with you. Anybody ever experienced that? Yeah. So just to give you some scriptural background for it, Acts chapter 2. So this is God's dream. And so the prophet Joel said, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. All right? That's God's heart. And so we saw in the day of Pentecost, all right, how this, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and people began to prophesy, people began to speak in tongues. And, I mean, since the day of Pentecost, these are the last days that we're in, right? And so this is God's heart, that people would prophesy, that people would dream, that people have visions. The idea is that we all hear his voice and we all connect to him and we all can minister to one another then and minister to him. Are you following me? You guys okay? All right, 1 Corinthians. The next one there. 1 Corinthians 14, I think it is. Yeah. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in the tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. All right, so there it is right there. He who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort. All right. Again, the prophetic model in the New Testament is to build up, it's to equip, it's to encourage, it's to... And so we're there to lift one another up. Not to call out the dirt, not to call out the sin, not to judge, not to condemn. That's the Holy Spirit's job, who lives in us now, right? Yeah, he convicts. We build, he convicts. Amen? So that's God's heart. That's his dream. And he desires that we... The fact is it's available to all of us because it's a gift. First... Peter chapter 2. We'll talk about this a little more if we get to it, but there's a big difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And because the reason that we're all able to flow in the gift of the prophetic, because that gift is available to us, is because we have access to him as his children. So Jesus came, paid the price for our sin, created a new covenant, and now gave us a new identity in him. And so we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. So you once had the nature as a sinner, and you become a Christian under the new covenant. You are now considered a saint, a royal priesthood, a child of God. So you have access to his heart because you're his child. So Jesus paved the way for you to be in his presence all the time, wherever you are. Amen? If you look in the Bible, about 27% of the Bible is future predictions. So it has its prophetic content, all right? So that's a big chunk of the Bible is based on prophetic things. And so it's not a fad. The prophetic is not a new thing, all right? It's been all through history. It's all through the Bible. It's all through the history of the church. There's at least seven different words used in the original language for prophet or types of prophetic ministry. And if you took the most popular from the Old Testament and the New Testament, you have about 465 occurrences of the word prophet, all right? If you compare that to the other gift offices listed in Ephesians 4, and you can put them up there, we've all heard this, right? He's given some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, teachers. Which one am I forgetting? Preachers, pastors. I missed one. Anyway, it's coming. If you go through that list, so pastor, shepherd appears 191 times, teacher occurs 162 times, apostle 80 times, and evangelist is actually only mentioned directly 3 times in the Bible. But if you take the prophet, it's mentioned 465. So the prophet alone is mentioned more than the others altogether. I'm not saying that means that it's more important or anything like that. I'm just saying it's there all through the Bible. You can't ignore it. And it's there for us to understand, not be afraid of, and not run away from, but to learn and to grow in, because this is something that God has for us. There's at least 12 individuals that were called prophets in the New Testament. There's Agabus, Judas, Silas, the 4 virgin daughters of Philip, the evangelist, at least 2 of the men listed as prophets and teachers in Antioch, and the group of unnamed prophets that accompanied Agabus to Antioch. So it's all through there. The question is, what happened to the prophetic? Because if you look in church history, the first couple centuries after Jesus, or after the day of Pentecost, the prophetic was well used and well known and well understood in the early church. And then in AD 260, What happened is the church began challenging the concept of universal grace and authority, which means that they began to challenge the idea that everyone has the same grace and everyone has the same authority. And so clergy started replacing the concept of universal grace with individual grace. In other words, they claimed that special people like bishops had the authority to prophesy and interpret scripture, but not the common man, right? And if you've studied history, you see how that goes. And so when the gifts of the Spirit become possible but not probable, they tend to atrophy. And that word means to decline in effectiveness or vigor due to underuse or neglect. Anybody ever seen somebody that's had a big injury and they haven't been able to walk or use an arm or something for a long time? That muscle atrophies and it becomes very weak. And so what happened was the church actually, and it's because of man being involved, said not any common person can just prophesy. It has to be pastors. It has to be clergy. It has to be special people. And it quenched the gifts in the church. And when you study church history, they were squashed for a long... Now, there's always pockets and there's always things that happen, but as a whole, it was squashed. In 1 Timothy 4:14, it says, "Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you." 2 Timothy 1:6 says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." 1 Thessalonians 5:19 and 20 says, "Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies." So what happened is the spiritual climate began evolving from manifestations of God's power and his presence to focusing on the power of managerial expertise, which is good, but it's not all that God intended, right? So then we have Azusa about 100 years ago, where the Holy Spirit began to move and flow in new ways. And basically reviving the church, right? That's where our denomination comes from. The Pentecostal denomination comes out of that movement. Right, and we began to see the prophetic explode again through the church as things like speaking in tongues and all that stuff began to resurface in a broad general way through the church. Does that make sense? I'm not saying that there wasn't pockets or revivals where things broke out, but as a whole, it was very minimal, and now it's exploded over the last 100 years. There's more people prophesying today than ever in history, and it goes back to that Acts chapter 2, Joel's word, his dream. You following me? He's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And so that's his heart. That's his love language, is that we learn to hear his voice and to flow with it. Israel got into a lot of trouble, when they relied on one person to hear God's voice. When they said to Moses, you go hear God's voice. Come tell us what to do. We'll be robots and do whatever you tell us. And God said, no, I want you to have a relationship. I want you to have a relationship with me. That's why we're made. And so we need that. We need that relationship. We need to understand that we have the ability to hear God's voice for ourselves and for other people. So the big question I want to end with quickly is, a lot of people get confused about this, and this is something they talked about when we were down there quite a bit. And I love the way they explain it. So the difference between the office of a prophet and the gift of prophecy. It's a question that often people have. They say, well, am I a prophet then? Is everyone a prophet? Is that what you're saying? And no, it's not what I'm saying. So 1 Corinthians 12, if you can throw that one up there, 29 to 31, says, are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire most helpful gifts. So not everyone is in the office of the prophet, but yet everyone as his child can hear his voice. And so it needs to be just understood that God ordains people for the office of prophet as a person who comes to encourage and build and help people to hear God for themselves. That's the role of a prophet, is to actually equip people to do good works. Does that make sense? Whereas the gift of the prophetic, the gift of prophecy, is something that is available to every person. In fact, that's why Paul says, earnestly seek it. If it wasn't available to everybody, why would he say that? Earnestly seek all the gifts. Earnestly seek, especially that you may prophesy. Does this help? Can Can you go to Ephesians 4? Just throw it up there quick. 4:11. So he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So again, whether it's the gift of prophecy, whether it's the office of the prophet, it's to build up. It's to encourage. It's to help the church. It's to help one another. And I think that needs to be something that's ground in us, that is what the prophetic is for. In the Old Testament, in Matthew chapter 5, gives us an example of what the difference was between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. So if you turn to Matthew 5, 43, verse 43. It says, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Jesus was talking to them and saying, you know, you've heard this. You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And to love your neighbor was a paradigm adjustment for people back then. Because until that point, they had just heard of the eye for an eye thing, right? You hurt me, I hurt you. That was what they understood. And so to them, to love your neighbor and hate your enemy actually came from God. So under the old covenant, God led the children of Israel into the promised land and commanded Joshua to kill everybody. Right? It was a Gentile genocide. We often skip over some of that stuff, right? We don't want to talk about it. It's like, because we don't always understand, why would God do that? What was going on? And I think it's important to understand and acknowledge why there's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so, you know, many of our Sunday school stories, we kind of, like, why did David have to kill Goliath? Well, because Goliath was an enemy of God. The Philistines were enemies of God, and so therefore, you killed them as children of God. Right? That's what was the Old Covenant. And so, Israel's first king was removed. Saul was removed when he went easy on a king that was condemned to death. He was told to kill him, and he didn't. The moral of the Old Testament was that you can't be good enough to get into heaven and work for God's acceptance, so you need a Savior. That was what the message in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, was. You need a Savior. You're not good enough. And so sin was destroyed, and sin led to death, and it was the whole message in the Old Covenant was that you cannot do this on your own. And so this is why everything in the Old Covenant was incredibly severe. You've ever noticed that? Like, you sinned, you died. The severity of the law confronts us with the severity of our sin and how desperately humankind needed a Savior. So the prophets reminded them of this calling out by calling out sin and by judging people. All right, that was Old Testament prophets. They judged cities and they judged nations. They called it out. They said, you've sinned and this is what's going to happen. And that was the role of a prophet in the Old Covenant. You guys follow me or you lost? Trying to just make, hopefully this makes sense to you, all right? So basically, in the Old Covenant, your love for God was measured by your hatred for those who hated God. Okay? Now, Jesus came, he died on the cross, and he covered that completely. So everything shifts, right? So he bore our sin, he bore our transgressions, he bore the punishment that we deserve. So people have been shown and taught for years the severity and the desperate need we have of a Savior. Then Jesus came and he paved the way for us to be covered of that. The wages of sin is death, right? The gift of God is eternal life. So he came to show us the way. He came to bring freedom. He came to cover us. And so everything shifts, and instead of calling out sin, instead of judging, that's left to the Lord. The Holy Spirit now convicts. He lives in us. Amen? We're called to equip, to build up, to encourage, to say, hey, God has a calling on your life. God has a plan for your life, and you can do this. This is who he's made you to be. This is the identity that you have in Christ now, because Jesus lives in you. So you're now a child of God, and this is what he's put in you. You follow me? So you can do this, and that's the role of the prophetic now. Jesus said in Matthew 5 that he came and fulfilled the words of the law and the prophets. So how we, the more we understand this, the more we understand who God is and how, what he's done, it's like these glasses. It changes the way that I would see people. It changes the way that I look at them. Now my eyes just went all blurry. Still getting used to these things. And it changes the way that I would prophesy over people. Because if we still are stuck in the old way, I'm going to condemn, I'm going to look for dirt, I'm going to, you know, I'm always going to have an agenda behind it. You know, oh, you should do this because I see there's, you know, you have some anger in your life and da-da-da. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to build up, to encourage, to call out the gold. It's a way of honoring people, actually. So it actually, when we do that, when we follow the model to comfort, to equip, to encourage, to console, it's actually a way of honoring what God has put in someone. So I can look at Sherry and say, man, you're an amazing woman that God has put so much on, you know, and so much strength and so much courage. And you have the ability to affect people by just the personality that you carry. You walk into a room and you have this joy and you have this strength and you're able to say, let's do this, let's go for it. And so I'm able to call that what I see in her personality, even just something simple like that. That's just calling out what God's put in you, right? And when you start to flow into the prophetic, it starts looking into the future. So what is God going to do with that? What is he going to encourage you with? You know, what doors might he open? And so you begin to step into that kind of thing, and that's what he's looking for. That's as simple as the prophetic is. It's not some weird, mystical thing. It's just loving them, loving someone, and just saying, Holy Spirit, what do you have to say? What's your thoughts towards this person today? So thankfully in the New Testament and in the New Covenant, because we're all his children, because we have an identity in him, we're just called to go and encourage and build up and help others walk in that. It's not supposed to be something weird. Sometimes it gets that way, but it's really hard to cover this in a lot of detail or whatever in 1.5 hours. So I think I'm just going to stop. And I'll just say a couple things in closing that I think are helpful. If you could put up 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24 and 25. And it says this. If all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Isn't that amazing? That's what the prophetic can do. It can unlock the heart of anybody, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, it can unlock the heart to the reality that God is with you, that God is here. And the response is that we worship. I guess it's coming. This is that phrase I want you to think about. The secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Sometimes we think that we need to go after the negative, all the negative that we see, all the dirt, all the stuff in someone's life. We need to point it out. Like, hey, in case you didn't know, I saw that you said this the other day. I heard you gossiping. I heard you lying. I heard you whatever. And we feel that somehow in doing that, in bringing up the junk, it's like it helps them deal with it. Well, I think we all know what we've done wrong, don't we? We don't need someone to remind us that we've blown it. But what happens is, remember that verse that says it's his goodness, it's his kindness that leads us to repentance in Romans? Remember that verse? It's his goodness, it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. And that's where the prophetic is beautiful, because you might be steeped in sin. You might be struggling with all kinds of junk, and yet I can walk up and the Lord will show me something in there that is good. It's the gold, it's the future of what he has for you. You call that out and it opens the heart up. And you go and you start to believe for something that you never thought possible, because someone looked in you and said, I see the identity that Jesus has put in you as his child. And even though you don't see it, and even though you're living way over here like this, God is calling you to live like this, right? Does that make sense? And so in those moments, that's why the gifts, you guys, are so powerful. and so important. And that's why Paul says, eagerly desire them, pursue them, because we need them. We need them in the church. Can they be abused? You betcha. Can they be messy? Yes, absolutely. But we don't want to throw all that out just because sometimes people make mistakes with it. We want to go after all he has. He gave us those gifts because they're so important to build his church. The gifts allow us to flow in the power and the manifestation of his glory that is a sign and a wonder to the world around us. People are looking for something real. You can talk a lot, but what people are looking for is it real in your life? And when you can flow in healing, when you can flow in the prophetic, those kind of things, people stand up and take notice because they go, oh, God is good. All I've heard is religion preached. All I've heard is, duh, 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 you must be like this and do this. When you show up in love and say, hey, can I pray for you? And you see someone's ankle, leg, whatever, get healed, that changes someone. When you walk up to them and say, hey, you're amazing at this. Did you know that I could just see you in the future, da, da, da. You don't even have to say, I'm going to prophesy over you. You can just say, I want to give you a word of encouragement. Can I just encourage you for a minute? And their countenance will change. So here's how this works. I was at camp this couple weeks ago speaking, and the whole week I spent trying to get the young people learning how to hear God's voice, all right? And at the end of the week, I got them to come, and I had the leaders line up at the front, and I said, okay, you guys are going to just prophesy over them. Whatever God, I want you to just speak out, whatever God leads. And so they took their turn, and then I just, as each one went along, I wanted to bless those leaders too for helping me all week, so I said, I'm going to pray over you too. And so this one girl, I just got this little picture, all right? It meant zero to me, meant nothing. But I said, I see you in this old hippie van traveling across the country and just having these crazy encounters with God and with other people as you go. Well, the entire staff just lost it. And I'm looking going, did I say something wrong? You know, what happened? So they later explained that this girl, she had just done YWAM and she was working at the camp for the summer, and she had felt that she was supposed to go on this trip across Canada with some friends and go pray for people. Well, I had no idea, right? But she was wrestling with it like, God, I don't have money. I don't know what to do, da, da, da. Well, just having that simple picture and being willing to speak it out, it meant nothing to me. In fact, I thought it was kind of weird. And I was like, Lord, is that really you? Like, you know. And so I shared it, and it was such an affirmation. So that's how God usually uses it, right? We have something we're wrestling with. We have something in our heart that we're wondering about. And then he brings someone to speak and say, hey, here you go. Here's the confirmation. Here's the gold, right? Does that make sense? I was teaching about, I think I shared this story. I was teaching at camp and I was talking to them about how, again, as his children, now we have an identity in him. We have access. We're his royal priesthood that we can ask for healing. And I said, we can walk up and say, in Jesus' name, be healed. Well, I had no idea that that guy sitting there was very skeptical of healing and he had a torn rotator cuff in that shoulder. Just imagine that. And he said, when I hit his shoulder like that, and that's all I did, I wasn't praying, I was teaching about it. I said, we can do that and see people get healed. He said something went through his body, and he said, he wouldn't tell me at first, but he was doing this the whole rest of the service. And they had a Pastors Against Campers baseball game that day. Well, he went and played baseball, and he said he was throwing the ball full out, no problem. So he came up to me that night, and he goes, I got to tell you, I've been very skeptical of healing. People have prayed for me for years, he said, and I just thought, no, this God has given me this. And then he said, you just were talking, you touched me, he said, and my shoulder's completely healed. He starts doing this. He's like, I haven't been able to do this for years. And so, isn't God good? So that kind of stuff opens people's hearts. It's not that you should do this because God says, and you lay the hammer down. It's, I love you. You're a child of God, and even if you're not a child of God yet, you're going to be, I believe it, you know, and we just start laying out the call out the good, call out the gold, honor them, honor what God has put in them. And guess what? You will make mistakes. In fact, I love this about down there at the school. They said to us, they actually don't allow students to graduate from their school of ministry unless they fail 3 times throughout the year. So they actually want people to fail. They said it's important to learn how to fail, to learn how to make mistakes, and to learn how to just keep going after it, to understand that, okay, that wasn't God, and this was God, and it's okay. So I'm going to invite the worship team up. It says in Proverbs 25:2, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. And there's something about how God leaves things available to us if we're hungry and we go after him. And so this morning as we end, I want to just take a few moments for you to seek him and to seek his face. And that God responds to our hunger. So he conceals things, not because he's a jerk or wants to keep things from us. He conceals them for us so that when our heart's in the right place, we discover those treasures. And that's where, when you want to step in, you want to grow in the gift of the prophetic, go after him. And he's holding some of those things for you in a place where when your heart gets right, you're going to step into it. Does that make sense? So if you have a prophetic word for someone, bless them with it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just go for it. At the same time, if you totally blow it, be willing to accept it, that you totally blew it. It's going to happen. It's all right. God still loves you. And even the fact, I mean, I've read some of the stuff like Sean Bolt, some of these huge prophets, they've blown it. And the guy was so impressed that they would step out in faith to try and share God's love that he's like, I want to get to know God more. And he still got saved, even though the word was totally wrong. So, you know, sometimes just the act of stepping out in faith, God uses that, even though sometimes we're a mess, right? And in fact, I would say, just as a church, can I just say this? As a church family, I'll give you permission for me. And I think if anybody on our prayer team or whatever prays for you and has a prophetic word, if they miss it, tell them. All right? Tell them. It's okay. Don't be like, I don't want to offend them. No. Tell them. That's the only way you grow, is to help hold whoever it is accountable by saying, you know what? This part really resonates with my heart. This part totally doesn't make sense. Now, that might still mean that they're right. It just hasn't happened yet, but it's good to share that and to grow with it. Does that make sense? Can we do that? So, and if you can't own that as a person praying, then don't pray. Because if you can't take that feedback, then you shouldn't do it. And so, just wait, Marlene. So, it's just incredibly important that you are open to receiving that accountability from other people. It's also important that you always, when you go to pray for someone, it's because you love them. And if your heart's not right, and if you're like really bitter that day, just pray yourself. But don't go try and lay something on somebody, because if your heart's not right, just don't do it. Right? Our heart needs to be right with God. We need to pour into him or pour into people around us because he wants to use us. I really pray. So would you stand with me? I really pray that as a church, we'd be open to whatever God wants to do. And it's going to mean that sometimes mistakes happen. But it also is going to mean that we are going to be open to all that God has for us. And we're going to experience his fullness and his goodness. And we're going to see people, more lives changed, more hearts transformed, because we're open, because we're hungry, because we're willing to take a risk. I'm willing to take that risk. And I guarantee that sometimes I may totally miss it, but I don't care. I want all that he has. Do you want all that he has for you? Did you know that right now there's music playing? Well, there really is music playing, but right now there's all kinds of music in the airways around us. And the way you hear it is by having a radio, right? And you tune to that frequency. If you haven't heard from him in the last 24 hours, it's not because he's not speaking, but we need to tune our radio to the right frequency to hear his voice. He's talking to you today. I guarantee it. I promise it 100%. He's talking to you. He's got something for you. And so what I wanted to do is the last few minutes here is just take a few minutes to press into God. He says that all my sheep will hear my voice. You can know his peace. You can know his presence today. You can know his voice. Maybe you've never even heard him speak to you. Sometimes it's just that subtle little nudge. Sometimes it's just this random thought. He pops in your head like, hey, you're amazing. I love you. And you were busy thinking about pizza. And God walks in and blesses you with that. And sometimes it's a scripture that just, boom, comes alive, all right? Sometimes it's a picture. Sometimes it's in a dream. So I just encourage you for the next few minutes, I want you to just rest in his presence. Just maybe after, okay? I'm sorry. I just want you to pray. Just close your eyes. Just get lost in him for a few minutes. I believe that God wants to speak to some of you, and maybe it's been a long time. I want you to just say, Lord, I surrender my heart. I surrender everything. My pride, my anger, my bitterness, whatever's in there that doesn't belong, just get it out. And know that as his child, he is loving you and he wants to speak to you today. There is no condemnation. No condemnation. There's no shame for those who are in Christ. So if you hear that voice saying, you're not good enough, you've screwed up way too many times, look at all this stuff that's happened in your life, just say, get lost, devil. Jesus says, I'm his royal priesthood. I'm his child. So I want you to just ask him, God, how much do you love me? Let him tell you. Let him show you. Ask him for a picture. Ask him for his thoughts. Whatever it is. Lord, I ask that you would wash over every person here this morning. I pray, God, that we would know your love. I pray that we would know your voice. I pray that we would not have any stress or any worry or any anxiety in this, but that we, as your children, we would just be able to rest in your presence and listen. So I pray for open ears, God. One of the ways that we hear from God sometimes is even through music. Things like, you know, people can prophesy actually over an instrument using music. Sometimes you just listen to these guys. I don't even think they have a clue what's actually happening sometimes, but they're prophesying sometimes over us just simply by tapping into what heaven's doing. So sometimes he speaks to us in a song. Sometimes it's a scripture. Sometimes it's the preacher, sometimes it's the whisper, the gentle whisper. And what I'm praying for is that all of us would understand that God speaks to you individually. You don't need a pastor. You don't need a prophet. You can hear from him for yourself today. So now if there's something in your life right now that you're struggling with, all right, some decision, some issue, some, maybe it's your marriage or children stuff or whatever it might be that you're frustrated with, I want you to just take this moment right now because we've taken a few minutes to just rest in him. And I want you to ask, Lord, what is your wisdom for this situation? What should I do in this circumstance, God? Ask him to speak to you. Ask him to bring insight. So Father, I bless what you're doing. I thank you, God, that you're going to bring wisdom. I thank you that you're going to show us and lead us through situations, through struggles, into the fullness that you have for us. God, help us to hear your heart for others, to be able to bless and encourage and to equip and to build up. Help us to not be afraid of all that you have for us, God, but help us to pursue your heart in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to bless you. Have an amazing day. If you'd like to stay for prayer, then I just invite the prayer team to come. The altar's open. We want to pray with you. But if you need to go, God bless you. But if you want to just soak and rest in his presence, then go for it. All right? And apparently there's lots of food downstairs if you're hungry. So help yourself.